Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. Hope everybody had a great Easter weekend, and thank you for starting another week with us here on the show. Today, we've got a fun trip report. We're going to Fort Wilderness in an RV. You ever wondered about what it would be like to not really camp, let's call it glamp over at Fort Wilderness and make that trek down the East Coast in an RV? Well, we talk about it with listener Giovanni today from New Jersey, and we talk about all the four theme parks, meeting a lot of characters, great character dining, and much more. So a fun trip report coming right at you right now. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. We'd love to help you plan your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, or Adventures by Disney vacation for no additional cost to you. Just swing by the website, themagicforless.com, fill out that free, no obligation quote form. And if you mention the Be Our Guest podcast, you and I are going to be working together on that trip, and I'd love to do that, help you work on that trip personally. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Please also use that Amazon affiliate link if you don't mind. That really helps support the show. It's super simple. One extra click. All you got to do, beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you so very much to our Patreon supporters. You guys are our all-stars. Thank you so much for that. And you can become one today as well. Just $5 a month supports our show. And you'll get a bonus show every week. It's called Mike in the Midwest. It's pretty fun. So check it out. Patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 2462 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. Hope everybody had a great weekend and you had a wonderful Easter celebration with your friends and family. We are glad you're back for another week. And if spring break wrapped up, hey, hope you had a good one. And let's just, for all those teachers, charge on to the end of the school year. That's right. It's like the end of a marathon. You know, this is going to be the hardest grind. This is that toughest part. But you know what? Most of the course is behind you. You just got to put your head down, grind it out, tough it out, and you're going to make it to that finish line. And summer will be here before you know it. And today, we're going to have a good time because we're going to have a fun trip report. Talk about a place that we don't get to speak about very often. We're going to go over to Fort Wilderness, which this is just it's such a cool place at Walt Disney World if you've never visited. And we're going to speak with listener Giovanni out in New Jersey about staying over there in an RV, which is something that I have always been curious about because I like running over there. And I've seen the various RVs and I've seen people camping there. I'll be honest, I don't want to do that. But the RVs, super curious about it. So, Giovanni, thank you for coming on the show. Can't wait to talk to you about today's trip report.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me.
All righty. So, how are things here in early spring out on the East Coast in New Jersey? Hanging in there?
Hanging in there. Rainy and still a little chilly, but we're hanging in there.
Good. No, I'm glad it's kind of the same as the Midwest. You know, we're all kind of in this together. We're still at this kind of just hanging around until summer gets here, I guess.
Yeah, at least there's baseball tomorrow.
Exactly. All right, so let me ask you about your Disney fandom before we hop into the trip report. So what finds you listening to a Disney podcast, coming on one here on a Monday? How did it all start for you? Did you marry into it? Did you grow up with it?
No, actually, I was lucky enough to marry another Disney adult.
There you go.
Since I was a kid, you know, I grew up on Disney movies, you know, the Aladdins, Little Mermaids, Snow White, all them. And then my parents took my sister and I, my sister's 4 years younger than me. They took us to Disney World when we were young. And then, you know, we went a decent amount of times. But every time it was, put it this way, like the Ninja Turtles were still in MGM at that point. And I was a big Ninja Turtle kid. I'm sure most people my age were. So it was just awesome. But then, of course, there's always that lull of like just many years that went by because of school, sports, activities, things like that. And then, you know, just it's not cheap.
Yes.
So then it was a while since I had gone back. And then I went back with my now wife. She was just my girlfriend at the time, as adults. And I don't know, I just thought it was better than when I was a kid. I got to see it differently, experience it differently. And yeah, we go at least once a year, mostly like two or three times though now, because we have adult money. And and I mean, what else are we going to do with it?
Disney likes that answer.
Yeah. Bills are paid, mortgages paid, all that. It's like, oh, we need a vacation. Hey, why don't we go to Disney again?
Bob Iger loves your response there. I'll just tell you that very much. Okay. So let me ask you a couple of the questions though, because this is totally, this is super interesting to me. So you have that history and I love, like, you remember the Ninja Turtle days, man, who there were the studios has a weird background. I mean, they had the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers there back in the day. It was just the weird connections. What's something from the days gone by that you wish Walt Disney World still had? It may be something you could go back to that you just can't do anymore.
I went to film school, but ever since I was a kid, I always loved the Great Movie Ride, and then the subsequent, like, I think it was like the, I don't know if it, no, you didn't. It wasn't walking out of Great Movie Ride. I think it was the old, like.
It was. I know what you're talking about. It was the backlot, the tour where you came out and you saw the Academy prop shop kind of thing. Yes.
I think it was like the AFI museum thing. I miss that so much. I know it was replaced by, or Galaxy's Edge replaced it, which I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I love it. I don't want to lose that. But if I could make any changes, it would be, you know, either bringing that back or the Great Movie Ride, because I love that ride so much.
That's cool because it ties into your passion. That's cool. That was cool. I remember that back in the day because it had like all those genuine props you could walk through. And it was back there. I remember because, like, you went in through like a big garage door kind of thing back there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that little shot of nostalgia here on a Monday. One other question though, what do you like right now at Walt Disney World? Like, what's a couple of your favorite things? Like, what is Disney doing really well at Walt Disney World?
So I like I mentioned, I'm a big Star Wars fan. I love Galaxy's Edge. Mainly the first time I went, I cried when I saw the Millennium Falcon, like that kind of thing.
Same thing. Yeah. I mean, it's because like your childhood, you always wondered, like, because you play with the toys and, you know, oh my God, it's in full scale. Like, I'm standing under the Falcon. Yeah.
Yeah. So I love that. But I love the little things, like how you hear the various ships flying by, you know, the noises and all that. I love the stormtroopers walking by and all that. But my big thing, it's what I love about Disney World, and I don't think it'll ever change, is I love the Disney bubble. Mm-hmm. Like, I love that there's no TVs in the theme parks. There's barely TV. There's TV. Like, I'm cut off from the world other than my phone, right? But like, I really only use my phone to take pictures and videos and all that. But like, I love the Disney bubble. I don't have to worry about anything. I got transportation to and from the parks. My resort is awesome. I love just walking through the resort store 150 times. I don't have to buy anything. I just like being around it. I love, you know, the cast members are always so nice and welcoming. And now that the dining plan is back, I'm personally a fan of it because it makes Disney an all-inclusive for me. Like, the minute I get there, I don't have to worry about anything. I want to eat something. All right, here's a snack credit, or here's my, you know, quick service lunch credit, or whatever it is. It's one of the only vacations that I feel like I can truly disconnect from, and just really enjoy it. Our room channel, for example, never leaves the, speaking of things that I wish that I remember, or what, I forget what her name was, but the one woman that would go to each park.
Yes. Stacy Aswan. Yes. She's a friend. She's been on the show before. Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. So like, it never leaves that channel, whatever iteration of that channel there is now. Like, that's always on in the room. I just love the bubble, so to speak. I think Disney does a great job of like immersing you in their world, essentially. So yeah, I think that's my most favorite thing. Otherwise, we'll be here all day. No. I'll take up the show.
You have said so many things that are going to just resonate with our audience, because I think so many of us go to be in the bubble to just escape reality for a weekend, or for, if we're lucky, a week, you know, just to get away and just, you know, have that, you know, just exile from reality, you know, get out of the 24/7 news cycle, you know, we have to use our smartphones for Genie Plus sometimes and for dining reservations and so forth, but as little as possible, you know, stay off the social media unless we're posting pictures or what, you know, just it is. And I like that, because it is fun to kind of, you know, the TV only goes on the Disney channels, you know, it might show the little, like I call it the PowerPoint station, you know, that displays the soft background music and shows the park hours, you know, like that. Yep. That's allowed, you know, and the one that now I'm not a big fan of the, you know, must do Disney channel now, because it's like influencers, you know, that are kind of going around. But I mean, it's not terrible. I do miss Stacy, though. You know, you're right. It was the best. Yeah, Chris before that. Awesome. Yeah, but okay. Let's talk about the trip, though, because I got to hear about this. Okay, so RV trip. We're going to talk about it from last summer, because summer's coming up. So people are getting ready to go down this summer, get you jazzed up for this trip. So how did this trip come together? Because you guys went down to Fort Wilderness in an RV. So very special trip.
So my parents have always had RVs, but trailers, like the ones that you can pull. Mm-hmm. We've never pulled. There's a campground down south of me, about 2.5 hours in Seaview, New Jersey. I forget what it is. You just kind of park there, you pay your site fee and all that stuff, but you have full hookups for bathroom, water, whatever it is. So we've always glamped, I guess, right? We've never gone camping per se in a tent and all that, but we always had a trailer and all that. But then a couple of years ago, we decided to stay at Fort Wilderness in one of the cabins. Mm-hmm. It was myself, my wife, our son, who was, I think, 1.5 at the time, and my parents, just to see what the resort was about, because I think my parents were already thinking about getting an RV, like the Class C that you drive. It has the bunk over the driver's seat and the passenger seat. So we went to Fort Wilderness to check it out. We loved the cabins, so cozy. I know they're selling some of them now.
Yeah, they are. Facebook. That's the craziest thing, you buy a whole cabin on Facebook. I think they're 50 grand.
Yeah, they're 50 grand. But yeah, it's like, oh man, that's awesome. But you know, it was cozy. We learned real fast that we needed the golf. Well, you don't need a golf cart, but you know, unless you want to ride the internal bus system, you know, you need a golf cart. So we got the golf cart, and we liked it. You know, I think my parents more so than my wife and I really liked it, right? So they, once they took the plunge and they bought the RV, it's made in Voyage. The first time we ever used it, other than just driving it locally to get the feel of it, right? Was the pilgrimage back to Fort Wilderness. But this time, instead of the cabins, we stayed in one of their, you know, the I don't even know what they call it, the spaces.
Yeah, that is, cool. I mean, when we book them as travel agents, they're just like full hookup campsites. Or
yeah,
this is what they're
exactly
called. Yeah, I can't remember now what they're called. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There's premium. There's different levels depending on what you're looking for.
I think we stayed in one of the premium ones. I think we stayed in the premium site. So yeah, we made that decision. We planned it out. The trip from New Jersey to Florida took us about, I think, two and a half days. It was mainly because it was the maiden voyage. My dad, you know, was not nervous, but he just wanted to kind of take his time with everything, get to know the vehicle.
Yeah,
it's huge.
Yeah, no kidding.
So we stopped every, like, I don't know, hour and a half, not to stretch our legs because we can walk about, you know, as it's driving, but he never wanted the gas tank to drop, I think, below three quarters of a tank or half a tank or something like that. But it's a gas guzzler, so we were stopping like every 90 minutes, 2 hours, pushing it. Our son was in the car seat. Every once in a while, we'd take him out. We'd sit him at the dining table. At this point, he's 2 and a half. So he'd sit at the dining table in his little booster seat and, you know, color, draw, play with his toys, whatever it was. My mom was back there. I was up front with my dad mostly. My wife was working. We got like a hotspot, so she was working. I worked a couple of days too. But we were in there. I think our first stop was in Virginia. No. Yeah, Virginia. And then that was our first night. Then the second night was South Carolina somewhere. And then we got to Disney after the South Carolina stop. But, you know, rain, and we had to hook up in the rain that first night, and it was a very bare bones campground, kind of sketchy.
Lock the doors.
We're just here to sleep. it was pretty sketchy. Even the worker that like shuttled us along on his golf cart and we followed him to our site, even he was a little like it's like, okay, man, we're trying to hook up here. Leave us alone. So we didn't do much sleeping that night. but it was, you know, it was an experience. We actually tried to, I don't know if you or your listeners know this, but if you're driving in an RV, you can stay for free in a Cracker Barrel parking lot or a Walmart parking lot.
I've heard that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because I'm a nerd. I listen to the Trucker Channel on Sirius XM a lot. Okay. So yeah, the road dog. So yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we actually tried to stay at the Cracker Barrel, like behind wherever they told us it was okay. And we didn't feel safe at all. First of all, you have no hookup, right? So like if you go to the bathroom or take a shower, you can't dump that anywhere. So it's like, all right, we don't want to be driving in the heat with you know, all this stuff and it's going to weigh it down and all that. So we tried, I think after about an hour, we went to dinner, we came back, we tried it out, and it's like, no, this isn't for us. So just quick Googling, like, all right, what's still open? Where can we go? Because it's after hours at this point. After hours, but it was only like 8:30 p.m., but everything closes early. We found a campground, the sketchy one. We got there. We hooked up in the rain, dark. First time hooking up, and it's raining and it's dark. So it's like trial by fire.
No kidding.
We got to figure it out. It's my dad and I out there, whatever, doing it. We did it. We left pretty early in the next morning. Stopped in South Carolina somewhere, a nicer spot. Then we left. We arrived at Fort Wilderness. I think it was maybe 3 or 4 at that point. It's like, we're not going to the parks at this time. Like, it's too late. We're tired. Let's just hang out by the resort, maybe go to the pool or whatever. Or just drive around the golf cart, get something to eat. So that's what we did. We my wife and I got out, we got the golf cart, my parents and our son stayed in the RV. We drove each other to the site. And then I don't think it's a sit down anymore, but I forget the name of it, but the restaurant there right next to Hoop De Doo.
Trails End. We were talking about it tonight at dinner, my wife and I. Yep.
Trails End. And it was delicious. We all loved the meal there. But it's like a quick service now, right?
My wife and I are having this discussion because as we're recording tonight, Scott's currently sitting at Hoop De Doo, and she's like, well, what about the place next door? I'm like, unfortunately, it is no longer the place that we used to love, where it was table service and we used to just go in there and have a blast. Now it's counter service. I think it's more kind of like mobile order and grab and go, you know, I think for like people camping and the cabins and so forth, take back. But
yeah.
It's good food, though. Oh, my gosh. It's great food.
It is really good food. we went back there because we ate there when we stayed at the cabins. But at this point, it was just It was just the no, it was closed. So it was only open for, I think, breakfast and lunch. I don't even think dinner was open. So once we found that out, I think we ate, they had food trucks there for some reason. Mm-hmm. I forget what the occasion was, but I think we had some food truck food. Then we called it a night pretty early. And then that's when we started, like, you know, the parks every day, or I think we went to Magic Kingdom the next day. Now Disney's a little different for my wife and I now, cause we have a toddler at this, he's three now, but at the time he was 2.5. So rather than just go, get on as many rides as we can and all that, it's a little more relaxed and measured. We do a lot of, almost not exclusive, but we do a lot of character meet and greets, yep, which I never thought I would, right? But now that we have a kid, that's like our favorite thing to do. Because yes, he gets so excited. And I know everybody says, like, they don't remember things when they're this young. And it's like, you know what? You're probably right. But we do. And we're never going to forget it.
That's 100% true. And the thing is, they'll get to see the pictures later. You know, they'll be able to see, they'll look back and see, there's my picture with Mickey Mouse, or there's my picture with Tigger, or, you know, whoever. And that's something that they'll get a kick out of later in life, you know, seeing that as they're younger. Now, before we jump into the parks real quick, just one last thing. When you park the RV there and you kind of set up shop, and you mentioned, you know, going to Trails Inn to get some food, you had some food courts there, with your location and throughout the entire stay, because then I want to talk about the parks and all the fun and the theme parks after this, but did you find you had a decent location? And cause I mean, the logistics of staying at Fort Wilderness obviously are different than any other kind of, you know, a Polynesian or a Pop Century or a Riverside. You know, you're not talking about a food court. You're not talking about, you know, the buses in a traditional sense. Talk to us about that. Did you, like, what was it like once you got it parked there? I mean, you said it was big, so that was, you know, almost like having a house there to go back to every day.
Yeah, so the location was not bad. It was actually pretty good. We were closer towards the end of the park, or like the back end of the park, which is close to Hoop-Dee-Doo, but close to like the boat launch.
Yep.
That would take you to Magic Kingdom. So we took, every time we went to Magic Kingdom, we would always take the boat launch. We only took the buses at the front of the resort if we were going to like Animal Kingdom or a park that we couldn't get to except by bus. So it was a pretty good location. The golf cart parking got a little hairy at times because there's just so many, the resort is huge and there's so many people. So it's like, sometimes you kind of have to make your own golf cart parking spot where you're out of the way of people, you know, otherwise you're screwed.
Yeah.
But that was the only thing, but it was a pretty good location. We had a bathhouse, I don't know, on our loop. Right.
Uh-huh.
It was like, I don't know, a 2-minute golf cart drive away, depending on which way you took. If you just went against traffic, it was 2 minutes, but if you had to go around the loop, right, it was more like 5 minutes. But we didn't really have to use the outhouse there because we had the RV. And one more thing about the RV too, it took me a long time to kind of get used to it, because that is not only your method of transport, right? It's your resort, it's your hotel stay.
Yes.
So being in it all day, every day, driving down and then coming back to it, waking up in it and then coming back to it after the theme parks, and then having to go back in it for multiple days and stay in it and live in it going back home, it was like, it seems kind of obvious, like, well, yeah, duh, but actually doing it, it messed with my mind a little bit. I'm like, oh my god, I'm in this place like so long, I can't take this anymore.
That's true, because I mean, you're right, I mean, because you are traveling in it, staying in it, then you're going to go home in it. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I never thought about it that way. It's not only your accommodations for your vacation. It's also your means of transportation both ways.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, it's not a it's a real toilet, but it's not a real toilet. Right. It's a shower, but it's not a real shower.
Right.
The hot water does run out. The tanks get full. So you have to go out and you have to dump it every once in a while.
So it's a compromise. I mean, it is kind of a compromise. Exactly.
You stay for a fraction of the cost, right? But I mentioned earlier, I love the Disney bubble. I felt like the Disney bubble was missing a little bit because I'm not in a resort, right? Like, I have to drive everywhere in my golf cart. I'm not walking through the store 150 times, you know, because I'm not walking through a lobby.
True. Yeah, and there's no food court.
There's no food court, so it's like you sit on picnic tables, and if it's raining, you either deal with
it. You don't. Yeah, exactly. You don't sit on picnic tables. Yeah.
Yeah, or you go back and you eat in the RV, right? So like it's a trade-off for sure, but for someone like me and my wife, who we just love the Disney bubble and just love even their resorts and all that, we missed that aspect of the vacation for sure.
This is so interesting to me because I'm so curious about doing this. I mean, I've even looked into, because there's a lot of companies out there that they can rent an RV, right? They'll they'll drive it right to the pad, and like you just show up and you stay in the RV, and then when your trip's over, they come and take it away. I mean, you don't have to drive it one time. You just stay in it while you're there. I mean, it's just like, bam, it's like a hotel room for you, you know, just if you want to have that experience for your vacation, to have an RV for you at Fort Wilderness. And, you know, I think that's what you're saying is so true, where what I'm hearing is there's a novelty in this kind of a vacation, because it would be kind of fun every once in a while to have the vacation where you are kind of getting the glamping, like you say, of getting to ride around the golf cart and getting to, you know, make s'mores each night if you want to out on the grill, and, you know, sit out with your loved ones and play cards on the picnic table in the summer. That's fun. But you're right. For us hardcore Disney fans, there's something to be said about walking through the food court and walking through the gift shop. And, you know, like when I'm at Pop Century, I love walking through, you know, the main building and then strolling down to my building in the 80s, you know, as I walk past the big statues and listen to the background loops. And that's me being in the bubble. And you don't get that there. Yeah, it's a trade-off.
And it was a trade-off. And it's a trade-off that, you know, I think we'll make every once in a while, even if it just happens where it's like, you know what? We don't really want to splurge for a hotel stay. Let's stay in the RV. Then, okay, sure. But I think, you know, 8 out of every 10 times we go, maybe 9, we'll probably make the jump and stay in a resort just because it's what we like, you know. And, you know, we were sleeping on a sofa bed, which we bought like a mattress topper for and all that. And it was comfortable, but it's not a hotel bed with those Disney pillows.
Right. I'll tell you, the Disney beds are way more comfortable than the bed we have here at our house. I mean, we have a terribly old bed.
About the Disney.
I'm already dreaming about my bed on the Fantasy this summer, because those beds on the cruise ships are the bomb compared to what we have here at the house.
Oh, we're going to try for my wife is expecting again. And I think for this baby's first birthday, we took our son for his first birthday to Disney for a new baby for his birthday. We're going to, I think, try to go on a Disney cruise. So we're pretty excited about that.
Careful. You get hooked. I'm telling you, I was only going to do it once, and I think I'm on like 19. So I'm just saying it's dangerous. And it's not a cheap hobby either. Okay. So let's talk about times in the parks, though. So you guys went to all the parks. What were some of the highlights? You kind of mentioned meeting the characters, but what were some of the other fun times? We have about 50 minutes here to squeeze these in.
So he was a little older this time than the, you know, he was 2.5. So he already kind of understands things, and he recognizes the characters from the, you know, movies that he watches and TV shows and all that. So, we rode Pirates of the Caribbean, I think, like 5 times.
That's a classic.
He was always so afraid to get on it because it's dark and eerie. But then once he's on it, he's like locked in, like ready to go, looking at everything, you know, pointing and screaming, but like in a good way, like, oh my God, look at that pirate, you know? And it was just like, can we go again? So it's like, all right, let's get off. Let's get back online. You know, a couple of times the cast members, cause it was later on in the park or in the evening, they're just like, no, just stay. We're like, thank you. Yes. Instead of having to get up and go back out.
That's a good cast member there where they save you like that.
Yeah. I'm like, thank you. You're saving my back from carrying him in and out. So that was fun. He liked Haunted Mansion. He loved Haunted Mansion, wrote it once, but then didn't want to write it the rest of the time. He goes, no, I'm good. It's scary. I'm like,
well, see, I was going to say, that's funny because I was going to say probably next trip won't even touch it. Cause like kids go through that, like they'll ride it when they're younger. And then they hit that weird age where like they freaked out about everything when they hit like five or something. And then they'll ride it again.
Which is where he's at now. He's like afraid of everything. He's afraid of everything, but not afraid of everything. So like we're trying to, because we're actually going back at the end of April, spending May the 4th there and all that. That's kind of his last trip by himself. So we're starting, like I'm trying to get, because Haunted Mansion's my favorite ride.
Nice.
And I was so happy that he loved it, but then I was kind of sad that he didn't want to go back on it again. So we're trying to like, show him some ride walkthroughs, which he loves anyway. The parade, he loves watching the parades and the ride walkthroughs, and trying to like warm him up, like, hey, look, this is Haunted Mansion. Yes. See, it's not that scary. Because I'd be kind of heartbroken. I mean, I'll get on it by myself, I don't care, but I would love to have him go on it now that he's, you know, older and really understands things. So yeah, hopefully that works. But yeah, he rode it the one time, was not interested the rest of the time. And our Magic, we went to Magic Kingdom a couple of days. But we did Crystal Palace for dinner because, you know, like I said, character meet and greets are big now.
Yep.
And we hadn't done that in a while. My wife and I, the last time we did it was with like he's my best friend, but like his daughter is like my niece essentially. So I call her my niece, but it was when we went with her when she was like three, which was like 5-6 years ago now. And it was okay, right? You know, I'm like, it's fine. But I knew that, I think that's one of the few character dinings in Magic Kingdom. So it's like, all right, whatever. And it's a buffet. You can never go wrong with a buffet. You can eat as much as you want. And we were pleasantly surprised this time around. The food seemed to be a little better than I remembered it. And we were a little nervous because he doesn't like, he's seen some Winnie the Pooh, but doesn't like watch it exclusively or as often as he watches like Mickey Mouse Clubhouse or like Disney movies. Mm-hmm. But he knew who all the characters were. He was so pumped and it helped us bribe him to eat, you know, because kids are so picky, right?
Right.
So it's like, hey, if you don't finish your chicken nuggets, Tigger's not going to come by the table. And he's scarfing him down.
That works.
Yeah, so he had a full belly, so we were happy. But yeah, that was a nice experience. We had dinner one night at Chef Mickey's, which this was before it reverted back to being a buffet, so it was just all you care to enjoy, whatever. The food was okay, but this was like our second or third time doing Chef Mickey's. The food was not as good as I remembered it to be, but it wasn't bad. It's just, it's a character meet and greet. So it's like, you're not going for the food.
Exactly.
You're going for the characters.
100%. Yep.
And it was fun seeing him dance around and all that. But what I've noticed is, I think Chef Mickey's, at least at this age, is a little too like crazy for him. There's so much going on. It's so big. The music.
It is. It's wild. Because there's a restaurant on the Wish. It's where you, it's the Frozen restaurant. It's exactly the same, dude. It is manic in that place. Like, there's two people playing instruments in the middle of the restaurant. Like, you're waving your napkins, and Olaf is coming around at the same time, meeting and greeting with the tables. I'm like, holy cow, how am I supposed to eat my dinner? Like, I mean, it's like, it's wild. I mean, it's totally fun. Like, the kids are having a blast. Everybody's having a good time. I was like, Well, it's like a three ring circus in here with like you're supposed to be eating at the same time. It's just it's
but I think
crazy.
I think it was even a little too much for him. Like he was just like at one point my mom
was
had
exactly how you were, just right that was me at dinner that night. I was like,
yeah, it's like what is happening? Like every time I try to take a bite, it's like, oh,
that was totally me. Your face, that was totally me on the ship. I was like, it was like trying to guard like Steph Curry or something. Like, whoa,
yeah,
you're breaking my ankles here, Disney.
Your head is spinning. But like, yeah, I think he got a little overwhelmed at one point, and he would like just was inconsolable, but not crying, just wired. So my mom had to like take him away.
I hear you. I feel you. Out,
calm him down, because he didn't want anything to do with his parents. God forbid. No.
The same thing when they're 16, by the way. Just so strap
yeah,
in.
Yeah, I know. So yeah, that was fun. Like I said, we did all the parks. We did Animal Kingdom as much as we could, but it was so hot. And like I said, it's a little different now. He really loves the character meet and greets. And to my disappointment, there's not many there. There's that like cavalcade thing that they do on the boats in the river, right? Uh-huh. And that was fine, but he wants to go and hug them, and you know, and I'm like, you can't, buddy, I'm sorry. But his favorite is Donald, and Donald is, you know, he's got the dino bash thing, so he's in a cool like dinosaur outfit. He loves Chip and Dale, and they're the same thing, but like that was it. A highlight of Animal Kingdom though is, and you know, my wife and I are annual pass holders, so we don't care. It's like, yeah, whatever, we can come whenever. But my parents really wanted to get their money's worth, so they were itching to like ride rides. And it's like, look, like the only ride he can get on here is like, the Navi River Journey, the Safari, and like maybe one or two other. And it's like, he's got to be in the mood for it. So we just let them go off. They did some rides, right? They did the Pandora, all that stuff. So we would just take him around and meet as many characters as we could. And so we got online for Moana, and he was so excited to meet Moana, but we already saw he was getting kind of cranky. And it's like, oh man, dude, don't fall asleep. This is like a 45 minute wait. And halfway through the line, we got one of those fans, right, that were blowing on us. And within 2 minutes, we look in the stroller and he's just passed out.
Can you blame him? If I was in a stroller and it Animal Kingdom was hot, and you put a fan on me, you know, I've been out in 2 minutes too.
Yeah. So you know, at this point, it's like we have maybe 20 more minutes left. It's like, all right, hopefully he'll wake up by then, because at this point he's like phasing himself out of the naps, so they're not longer than 20 minutes. Nope. We get to the front of the line, he's asleep. So we actually took pictures with Moana, and my wife and I are like shrugging, and Moana's like pointing at him, so that was like,
that's so cute.
Was, like, a really good sport about it. But and he had like his, I think he had his Pua toy, like he was ready to go, but he was just in the picture. I can't wait to show him that when he's older and show it to like his, you know, significant other.
Yes.
When he's dating, like, oh look,
that'd be perfect for like pre-prom when the whole when the whole crew's there, you know. Exactly.
Yeah. So that was cool. So yeah, I think Animal Kingdom was our least favorite park that visit, because there just wasn't many characters for him to meet. Hollywood Studios was the best, because again, I'm experiencing Disney differently now, right? I didn't realize how many character meet and greets there are at Hollywood Studios.
There's quite a few.
There's the Disney Junior, you know, Vampirina. Oh my God, a Fancy Nancy, Pluto, right? But then there's like a bunch of Pixar characters. There's Sully, who he loves Monsters, Inc. We named our golden doodle Sully.
Nice.
Because that's what he wanted to name him.
Hey, we have a golden too, by the way. That's nice.
Yeah. So, you know, he got to meet Sully, Frozone, Edna Mode, like all these favorite Pixar characters. But again, it was really hot that day. He's starting to get cranky. We're starting to get cranky. I've got sweat dripping on down my shirt, right?
I feel you so much. I've been there.
So it's like, oh man, like I can't wait to go back to the resort and get back in the pool, you know? So it's like, all right. what we can't do much more. He's starting to get cranky. He doesn't want to sit in the stroller. He just wants to be carried, but we can't carry him. Like, it was just that kind of thing. So we see that Woody and Jesse are out, and Buzz. So we make the line for Woody and Jesse. They cut the line off right after us. My God, we were so, it was like, oh my God, thank you. I thought you were going to cut the line at us, and he would have had a mental breakdown. And this was like the best part of the trip. We get to the front, right? And he's holding his Woody toy and his Buzz Lightyear toy. And we get to the front, and he, you know, he's kind of like wants to start running, but we're holding him. It's like, you got to wait your turn. You got to wait your turn. And it's like, are you going to give Woody a big hug when you get there? He goes, yeah, yeah. So the minute it was his turn, we let him go, and he sprinted right into Woody's arms and just wouldn't let go. And I got it on video, and I'm like, this made it all worth it.
Yes.
The sweat, you know, like just crankiness. I'm like, this is it. This is why we do this. And it was like, my wife and I are holding back tears because he was so excited. And then when Jesse got down on a knee too, and he hugged her, and he's actually posing in the pictures, and you know, he's kind of usually a little nervous, so he'll kind of like, you know, stand like this and let out a little smile. He's cheesing it up. They like held out their arms, and he held out his arms, right? And I'm like, oh man, this is great. So then we finally after that, he's on cloud nine. We're all on cloud nine. Nothing matters from what happened before. We turn the corner, and there's Buzz. So he wants to take a picture with Buzz. And again, and Woody was playing with like his Woody toy and his Buzz toy and all that. So he has the toys again. And they cut the line off right behind us again for Buzz. And it's like, man, this is like divine intervention. And he does the same thing. He runs right at Buzz. But he pulls up at the last minute, like right before he gets to Buzz. I guess because he knew somehow that, you know, Buzz's costume is not as soft and pillowy as Woody's. And then he just leans in and he gives him a full hug, bear hug, right? And now Buzz takes his Buzz toy and he's playing with it, whatever. Same thing, cheesing it up, takes pictures. And it was like, man, this is the best day ever. And my parents missed it all because they wanted to ride rides and all that. They're like, oh, how was your trip? And we're like, you have no idea what you missed. It was like the best character interactions. So yeah, Hollywood Studios was definitely and he loves walking through Galaxy's Edge, which made my heart stop. pointing out the droids and all that, Chewbacca, I'm trying to start him young. So it's like, oh, what sound does Chewbacca make? Right. So he sees Chewbacca and he's going, Chewbacca, Chewbacca. So that was awesome. And then Epcot, you know, same thing. We try to take him to characters. But he loved Figment, he loved that ride. We rode it, I think, two or three times. And the Nemo ride, he likes that too. So a Garden Grill. He's a big fan of Garden Grill.
Same. He loves chicken grill. Yeah, good characters, yeah. Good food.
yeah, that food is really good there. So, it was different because it was mainly character meet and greets. But, man, did I have a blast. I think that was like my favorite Disney trip that I've ever taken. And I can't wait to take him back because now he's older. It's gonna be pretty cool. So yeah, it was a really great trip. It was different in the sense of it was not many rides, mostly character meet and greets, but it was awesome.
But the thing is, you're gonna have that opportunity down the line because the way you see Walt Disney World with your family evolves through the years, you know, and this is exactly where you needed to be for this trip, and you made the memories that were meant to be made at that stage of life, and just seeing your face light up telling that story with Buzz and Woody and Jesse. I mean, our listeners, as they're driving into work today or, you know, going on a jog or what, walking the dog, doing the dishes, whatever they're doing, I know like smiles are all over, you know, all over North America, Europe, wherever they're listening to the show, because that is why we go to Walt Disney World. And you know, here's the cool thing. We don't have to have it happen to us. Like, knowing that it happened to your family makes me happy because to me, when you're telling that story, what you got right there was the Disney commercial. You know, like you see those commercials on TV, you got the commercial, and that's what we always dream about. We want that moment, and you got it. And that makes me super happy. You know, I'm glad you got that moment because you'll have that forever.
Yeah, I will. I will.
That's super cool. So you said real quick, because we got to wrap a little bit long, but you're going down, you're a Star Wars fan, going down for May the 4th?
Yep, yep.
Oh, my
third year in a row.
Oh, my God. So I happened to be there 1 year on May the 4th just because I was there for cheerleading. Mm-hmm. And we stayed one extra day. Pam had to come back to teach, but I was there with Mallory. I was like, let's stay one extra day. So we went to the studio. I was like, we probably can't get a theme park reservation for May the 4th over the studios, but we got one. I couldn't believe it. So we went over there, and I'm like, okay, we are hanging out in Galaxy's Edge on May the 4th just to be there, right? I mean, it's got to be the place of the universe to be, right? So we went in there, and I was like, I couldn't believe it with all the people with the lightsabers, like right at sunset. Yeah. That was the coolest. Like, I didn't have one. I was like, dang, I need a lightsaber, because that was like, if people don't know, because I don't think people know this. Like, if you could ever get like down by the Falcon on May the 4th, it is like the coolest thing ever. Whenever I hold your lightsabers up, oh my God, it was the coolest thing I ever saw.
And last year I went with some buddies and we saw it while we were waiting for our Oga's reservation. And it's like, it's really cool, but I'm going with my family this year, but next year I'll probably go with the same buddies. And I think we were talking about possibly like cosplaying in the evening. In the daytime, it's way too hot.
Yeah, so I wanted a robe. I didn't have anything. I was so prepared. Didn't have, and I don't have one anyway. Yeah. But I was just like, dude. I was like, this is so awesome.
Yeah. The only thing I wish is that Disney would lean into it a little bit more. That's it. Otherwise, it's awesome to be there, like on May the 4th, and then there's Revenge of the 5th, right? The unofficial. Revenge of the 5th, so it's like, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Well, did you ever go to the old Star Wars weekends back in the day, or
I never did.
See, I used to go to those too. Those were awesome, because I have a poster here in the studio that's from one of the old, that's why I got my first anniversary gift from my wife, and it's a Star Wars weekend poster. And those,
Now
those were cool, because you mentioned Disney leaning into something. That was what they totally leaned into it back then, you know, prior to the purchase of the franchise, which was ironic.
I heard some really good, fun things about the celebration days.
Yeah, it's weird because they didn't own it then, and they really went all in before they owned it. Now they own it, and it's not so much, but they have the whole land. I don't know. I can't think that hard, because I guess I'm not that smart. I'm not making the connections. But anyway, we got to get out of here. But Giovanni, thank you so much for making this Monday so awesome for all of our listeners, and have a great trip here in just a few weeks. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
All right. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by The Magic for Less Travel. We'd love to help you plan your next Disney vacation for no additional cost to use. Check out all the details over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you to our Patreon supporters. You guys make these shows possible. You can support us starting at just $5 per month, and you'll get a bonus show every week. It's called Mike in the Midwest. So come on over, patreon.com/beourguestpodcast. You know what? The show never ends. Over in the BOGP Clubhouse. That's right. We call our Clubhouse, it's actually our Discord server. But you can talk with other listeners of the show. We just keep it going day, night, all the time. Just visit brguestpodcast.com/Discord and get in on the conversation right now. Also, join us this Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. We open up the phone lines and have the BOGP open line. Scott will be back. He was down at Walt Disney World, hanging out at Coronado Springs, eating it up. And just going to all the parks and riding all the rides. And he'll have lots to talk about. And you can call in, ask him questions about his trip. So join us. Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and Twitch. Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern. We'll be waiting for your call. And join me on the social media at Be Our Guest Mike in all the places. All right, we're going to get out of here. We'll be back again on Wednesday for more of your listener questions. So for Giovanni out in New Jersey, I'm Mike here in Missouri. You guys have a great week. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.